When Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, the rims of his chariot wheels created impressions that later became seven oceans, dividing the planetary system known as Bhumandala into seven islands. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the planets in outer space are called islands. We have experience of various types of islands in the ocean. And similarly, the various planets divided into 14 lokas are islands in the ocean of space. As Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, he created seven different types of oceans and planetary systems, which altogether are known as Bhumandal or Bhuloka. In the Gayatri mantra we chant, Om Bhurbhuva Sva Tat Savitur Varenyam. Above, the Bhuloka planetary system is Bhuvarloka, and above that is Swargaloka, the heavenly planetary system. All these planetary systems are controlled by Savita, the sun god. By chanting the Gayatri mantra, just after rising early in the morning, one worships the sun god. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Miritamina Tasmai Shri Guru Vidamara Mama Shadar Namam Vishnapadaya Krishna Vistaya Buddhesha Madhya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. If you like, we can read the translation again. When Priyavrata, if you like to repeat, when Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, the rims of his chariot wheels created impressions that later became seven oceans, dividing the planetary system known as Bhumandala into seven islands. Sadaputa Prabhu, the late Dr. Richard Thompson, he addressed this situation here, this creation of the oceans of Bhumandal, at least in a couple of books. He describes that in the, what's the title, Vedic Cosmology and Cosmography. He, in a chapter, he describes this Maharaj Priyavrata going around the sun. The sun goes over Bhumandala horizontally, because this is the plane of Bhumandala. It's not exactly Bhugolam. Bhugolam means the spherical earth, of our experience. Here is Bhumandala, is the plane, the Bhu planet. And the sun basically circles horizontally on this plane. So Priyavrata, by following the sun with his chariot, he created ruts, impressions. And he created seven oceans. And these seven oceans are very particular because they are concentric oceans. In other words, I mean, I think you all have seen these pictures. There is this Bhumandala plane, and There's Jambudvipa in the center, then there is an ocean, then there is another island, which is also like a circular island, then there is another ocean, then there is another island, then there is another ocean, and there is another island, and there is another ocean. So they're not just oceans, one here, one there, one there. They're like concentric oceans. Each one is like contained in the next island. And Sataputta Prabhu wrote the whole book. What was the title? Mysteries of the Sacred Universe, or something about the Sacred Universe. And he gives four different interpretations of what this Bhumandala means. He was not, even himself, he was a genius, both scientifically and also devotionally, he was very advanced. He didn't give like one explanation. He gave four different explanations of what Bhumandala actually means, or how to understand it. He brings up different explanations, he brings up different problems with those explanations. Anyway, this is something that our devotees were working on the TOVP, on the Vedic Planetarium, working on. I hear that there is a plan of mapping Bhumandala on the floor. So you'll see, just wait for you, you'll see Bhumandala right there. You can go and take and have a Mongol Arctic on Bhumandala directly. So, but, and Sataputta Prabhu produced also a DVD with all these graphics, interactive, this whole movie. Some of you have seen it. Anyway, so I thought there was not much point in discussing without the graphics, so I won't discuss much. But here the sun is very important, the sun. First of all, Priyavrata Maharaj is following the sun, and Srila Prabhupada, in a different purport in this canto, he says, it's difficult to understand where actually Priyavrata Maharaj was situated. Srila Prabhupada says, it's difficult to understand what kind of planet, what kind of platform, what kind of dimension. So it's not really 100% clear, at least to me, where he was. Plus a chariot that creates with the rims of the wheels. So it's something a little very, very, very difficult to understand. Plus it's a long time ago. This is Priyavrata, is the son of Swayambhuva Manu. That was the beginning of the day of Brahma. We are talking about roughly 2 billion years ago. It's a long time. And a lot of changes, apparently, in this time. Six different manvantaras in between. But anyway, it's a meditation. We meditate on Priyavrata, empowered to basically restructure the whole Bhumandala plane. We can see, sometimes we have master plans. We say this road goes here, this canal goes here, this park goes here. He did the master plan basically for the whole Bhuloka. That's what he did. And then people started inhabiting those islands and so on. But the sun is very important. The sun is central. Srila Prabhupada say in the Gayatri mantra that we chant, the Brahma Gayatri. How many of you are second initiated here? How many of you are second initiated? Don't feel shy, please. I mean, it's nothing to be ashamed of. So thank you. And so those of you, you know, and those of you who are not second initiated but from India, you know the Brahma Gayatri because you find it everywhere. Srila Prabhupada writes the old Brahma Gayatri also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so it's not really like a secret. So the Brahma Gayatri says that when we say Savita means the sun. So Srila Prabhupada says that by chanting the Gayatri mantra in the morning, one worships the sun god. Of course, later in this canto, we'll also see that when we talk about sun god, we talk about Surya Narayan, who is a manifestation of Narayana. So there are different levels of understanding of the Brahma Gayatri and of the sun. There is this verse in the Brahma Samhita, Yachakshuresha Savitasa Kalagrahanam Rajasamasta Suramurtim Ashesha Teja Yasyagya Brahmati Samrita Kalachakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So in this verse, which is spoken by Lord Brahma, there Yat Chakshur, it says that the sun is his eye, is Lord Govinda's eye. It's through this eye that Lord Govinda gives light to the world. In one sense, he sees the world through this eye. And later, ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's also described that Srila Prabhupada describes that without illumination, nothing can be seen. Which obviously we have experienced, especially in this material world. The illumination in this world emanates from the effulgence of Sudarshan. The original vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the illuminating principles of the sun, the moon, and fire emanate from Sudarshan. So you can see the sun on a different level. Of course, for a materialist, the sun is just, they have different theories, but it's just a material object, a star, they say, is a blob of gas. They have different understanding of the sun. Then there is the understanding, still Vedic, quote-unquote Vedic, but it's okay. Raja Samhasta Suramurtim Sakala Grahanam. Graha, it's a name for planets, is even an astrological term, the Grahas, which in English we translate planets, although not all of them are planets. Like Rahu, Ketu are not a planet. The sun itself is not a planet, technically, in English. It's not a planet. But Sakala Grahanam, Raja, is the king. He's the king of all the planets. All the planets are very important, but the king, without the sun, really, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. You have no, first of all, nothing can be inhabitable. To be so cold that we'll all freeze to death in no time. And of course, even our food depends directly on the sun, because all the plants we eat grow by the process of photosynthesis. That's a Greek, comes from Greek. Photo means light, and synthesis means to synthesize. So the plants synthesize the light. In other words, they eat light. They eat light. They grow by light. They have these cells that they take the light and they change it into nutrients. Photosynthesis. It's very interesting because in the Bhagavatam it's described in the third canto when it describes the different phases of creation. There is the creation of plants, and the Bhagavatam says the plants get their nourishment from upwards. But in the West, they did not discover photosynthesis till the, I believe, 18th or 19th century. I believe 19th centuries. Because once they asked Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, how the plant nourish themselves. And he answered, he take it from the ground. Which is kind of intuitive, because they are in the ground, you put the water. But the main nourishment for a plant is the sun. In fact, plants without light, they don't survive. So it's interesting that Bhagavatam was already indicating the process of photosynthesis thousands of years it was developed in the West. But the point is that everything depends on the sun. We don't have existence separated from the sun. There is a very interesting conversation, one of these morning walks in Los Angeles. This was on 1st May 1973. These morning walks with the scientists, especially Swarup Damodar Maharaj. And so Srila Prabhupada talks about the sun. He says, Prabhasmi Sashi Shura Yuhu. I am the sunshine. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the sunshine. So who is not seeing the sunshine? Why the rascal says, I do not see God? God says, I'm here, but he says, I do not see. God is before you in the form of sunshine. Don't you see the sunshine? Why do you say that I do not see God? Who has not seen the sunshine? In the morning, very early in the morning, you see God. That is Gayatri Mantra. Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya. That is the obeisances to the sun, Savitri. In the beginning, we see God by the sunshine. And then the discussion goes on. I'm not reading everything, but the discussion goes on. Then Srila Prabhupada asks, what is the explanation of these scientists of the sunshine? And Swarup Damodar says, they say the sunshine is just some... there is a gaseous material, very hot temperature, so the rays are coming from the sun. Prabhupada, that's all right, but it can kill you, is it not? So when did you accept with God sunshine? If it increases little temperature, millions of you will be killed immediately. So why don't you accept sun as God? Therefore, according to Vedic principles, sun in the beginning is accepted as God. And this is important because in the Bhagavatam, you see in the second canto, when the Shukadeva Goswami starts discussing the first step in spiritual realization, is first to see God through the universe. And again, the sun is the eye of God. Again, the same concept. The eye, the vision, darshan, sudarshan, is the eye of God. So by seeing the sun, you're seeing the eye of God. And then Swarup Damodar says, they take it as a material object, the sun. Because Srila Prabhupada said, why don't you accept the sun as God? He said, well, they say it's a material object. Srila Prabhupada says, then accept you're under his control. God means controller, Ishvara. Ishvara means controller. God means controller. So he's controlling you. It is material, but it is not under your control. You are under his control. So if anything is controlling you, that is God. God means controller. If you cannot see Krishna, you can see the sun. It's a very interesting type of logic. I mean, okay, even if it's material, but is your controller. So at least, accept him as God, because he's bigger than you and you depend. And we see in some cultures, sometimes in some remote primitive, they do accept this phenomena of nature as God, which is intelligent, because they control you. Without sun, they understand, without sun we have no chance of living, and therefore the sun is God. It's a beginning. Then later on, you understand, no, actually, the verse we just said in Brahma Samhita, Yasya Gyaya Brahmati Sambrita Kala Chakra. Yasya Gyaya, Agyaya means order. Yasya, on his order, on the order of Govinda, the sun follows its orbit. But it's a beginning. You understand the sun has got there, you understand? No, also the sun is controlled. So Govinda Vadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And by chanting the Brahma Gayatri, you develop gradually that understanding. Because the Vedic message sometimes is very packed. It's very packed. Lord Chaitanya says that the Mahavakya, the great sound, the essential sound of all the Vedas, is the Omkara, Pranava Omkara. A-U-M, the junction of these sacred three letters. It's everything there. Everything is inside there. The Lord is energy and all the living entities. So everything is in Om. But Om, you have to unpack it. So in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see Lord Chaitanya discussing with the Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi. And there he says, the Omkara is the essence of all the Vedas, and the Brahma Gayatri is the unpacking of the Omkara. I mean, he doesn't say unpacking, he says he's explaining the Brahma Gayatri. Omkara is explained in the Brahma Gayatri. And then the Brahma Gayatri, Lord Chaitanya says, is explained in the Chatushloki Bhagavata. So more and more and more unpacked. And then it becomes totally unpacked, of course, in the 18,000 shlokas of the Bhagavata. Because this is Krishna, as he himself describes himself in the Bhagavad Gita, is, what is that? Anoraniyam Mahato Mahiyam, is smallest than the smaller than the smallest, and bigger than the biggest. So you can describe fully the absolute truth with one syllable, Om. You can describe fully all existence with one syllable, which is basically the most fundamental unit of communication, one syllable. But you cannot fully describe the absolute truth even with billions and trillions of books. That's why it is said Anantadev, who is actually a form of God, he cannot reach the end of the glorification of Krishna. So these are some of the paradox in the absolute. And it can be expressed in very simply, I mean in very short form, and it cannot be expressed in a very long form. And the Brahma Gayatri, there are different understanding of the Brahma Gayatri. Srila Prabhupada then generally gives this official understanding. He says, Savita, Savitur, Savita is worshipping the sun god. Of course, later he says, but the sun god is Surya Narayana. And as we said, that sun god, the sun comes from Sudarshan. So you are actually worshipping an associate of the Lord. And so there are different levels of understanding. In fact, the most esoteric Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding is that the Brahma Gayatri describes Radha Dasya, the service of Srimati Radharani. The Gaudiya Vaishnava take that Bhargo Devasya as the effulgence of the Lord, the internal energy of the Lord. So a Gaudiya Vaishnava in that mood, when he chants Brahma Gayatri, thinks about Srimati Radharani. Like that. And our Sampradaya, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has a very interesting relation with this Brahma Gayatri. Because it was not universally used as one of the Diksha mantras. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, of course, they chant Hare Krishna, they chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that's the most important thing, that's sufficient for becoming Krishna conscious. But for their own meditation and for worship of the deities, there are other mantras that the Gaudiya Vaishnava use traditionally, like the Gopala mantra, or the Kama Gayatri mantra. Those are, we could say, more traditional Gaudiya Vaishnava mantras. The Brahma Gayatri was introduced kind of later on. And although Srila Jiva Goswami, who is always, I mean, is the most important philosopher in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he wrote the old book on the Gayatri Mantra, on the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. He wrote the old book explaining the Gayatri Mantra as revealed in the Agni Purana. So it's really part of our, of course, it's part of Vedas, it's part of our theology, and so on. And Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita somewhere, I have the reference, if you want I can give you the reference. One point he says that it was introduced in Gaudiya Vaishnavism 300-400 years ago. So Srila Prabhupada was writing in 1975, late 20th century. So if you take 300-400 years ago, 1975, 300-400, which is a very general number. So if you take it 400 years, it's 1575, which is some 40, 50 years after Lord Chaitanya. And specifically, Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita gives different devotees' names, and he speaks about Rasikananda Deva. Rasikananda Deva is the main disciple of Shamananda Prabhu, Shamananda Pandit, of whom we celebrate the disappearance today. So in other words, it's from the time of Shamananda Pandit that the Brahma Gayatri is in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line. Shamananda Pandit is second generation, is disciple of Ridoi Chaitanya, who is disciple of Goridas Pandit, who is a very close associate with Lord Chaitanya. And in one other purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada says that the Brahma Gayatri and the sacred thread was introduced by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which would put it at the beginning of the 20th century, more or less 100 years ago. So my understanding is that different branches of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism adopted the Brahma Gayatri, this Om Bhur Bhuvah Swah mantra, at different times. So in Orissa, the line of Shamananda Pandit adopted very early. It was always part of the initiation. And the other lines were not so early. In fact, in the line of, say, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was no Brahma Gayatri. There was no Brahmin thread. If you notice, in all the pictures of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even at different ages, all the pictures of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in which he's bare-chested, he doesn't have a Brahmin thread. Apparently, he never wore a Brahmin thread, and apparently, he never chanted the Brahma Gayatri. This was not really something that Gaudiya Vaishnavas thought was necessary. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the Brahma Gayatri and introduced the Brahmin thread because he wanted to specifically establish the fact that if you are a Vaishnava, you are automatically a Brahmana. Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. A Brahmana knows Brahman. A Vaishnava knows Parabrahman. So automatically every Vaishnava practicing Vaishnava is a Brahmana. So Srila Prabhupada explains that specifically he wanted to save people from a mundane vision of the Vaishnava. In other words, it's not that, at least how Srila Prabhupada explains, it's not that the Vaishnavas needed the Brahma Gayatri for full realization. It's the people outside that needed to see the Vaishnavas as Brahmanas. Because otherwise they'll think, oh, I have the Brahmin thread, you have the Brahmin thread, oh, he doesn't have the Brahmin thread, it's a Shudra. Anyway, and talking about Shudras, Shyamananda Pandit, in fact, was born as a Shudra. He was born in a caste of Shudra who would sell milk in the villages. He was born in the Midnapur district of Orissa. But he immediately manifested very Brahminical tendencies. How much time we have? 35. We have 10 minutes. Shyamananda Pandit immediately was attractive to grammar, to Sanskrit, to logic. And so the parents saw, wow, he's so naturally inclined. He's a natural philosopher, natural philosopher. So they told him, whom you want as guru? Think deeply. We need to send you to some guru, because here in the village, what you're going to do? You know, we are just a milk salesman. You need to develop further. So whom you want as your teacher? And then without any hesitation, he said, I want Hridoy Chaitanya. Who is Hridoy Chaitanya? Hridoy Chaitanya, and how he got to be called Hridoy Chaitanya? His name was Hridayananda. But then, at the time of Lord Chaitanya, in Ambika Kalna, you know Ambika Kalna? You all know Ambika Kalna? You know Ambika Kalna? Ambika Kalna, if you cross the river, you are in Navadvip. Then if you go 30 kilometers south, you have Ambika Kalna, which is a very important Gaudiya Vaishnava place. There was the house of Gauri Das Pandit, who is actually Subal himself. Subal, the Gopa Subal, the Saka, Subal Gopa Saka. So he had a very special relation with Lord Chaitanya, and Nityananda and Chaitanya personally posed for the deities who were there. So one day there was this big kirtan, and Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda were there in the kirtan, dancing. And Hridoy Chaitanya was the disciple of, at the time was Hridayananda. Hridayananda was the disciple of Gauri Das Pandit, was doing the puja. And when he was doing the puja, at the time Gaur Nitai jumped from the altar and they start dancing. And then Hridoy Chaitanya got down and said, go immediately back on the altar. And then at that time, it seems that Lord Chaitanya Nityananda entered his heart. And everybody is so kind of, them entering his heart. Therefore he got the name Hridoy heart, Chaitanya. So such, I mean, these are personalities who are unimaginable advance. So Hridoy Chaitanya. So father and mother of Shyamananda at the time, sorry, I forgot to mention, his name was not Shyamananda. His name was Dukhi, which means the sufferer, the very, what would you translate? The Dukhi, one who suffers. Because it seems that the mother and father had many children, they all died in infancy, so they gave a very strange name to the son to kind of protect him, some sort of, I'm not saying superstition, but some sort of, okay, you call it in a strange way, at least he will survive, something like that. So his name was Dukhi. And then Dukhi went all the way to Ambika Kalna, which was kind of far at that time. Right now it would be, I don't know, 5-6 hours by train, by car. So then he went there, and Hridoy Chaitanya accepted him, and he gave the initiation name Krishnadas. So Dukhi Krishnadas. Everybody will know him as Dukhi Krishnadas. And then Hridoy Chaitanya, and he became very dear to everybody in Ambika Kalna, because he was very, very sweet, very humble, very intelligent. He was really a super devotee. And then Hridaya Chaitanya sent him to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. And there are the three famous acharyas, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit. There are three. They were studying. And Shyamananda Pandit was the youngest of the three. So they had like very close relation, but more like elder brothers to him, a little bit. Narottam Das Thakur was kind of close by age, but still, he was the youngest. So it was kind of the very dear to everybody. So Jiva Goswami was very happy with him, and he gave this very special service to sweep the kunja, the place where Radha Krishna have the Rasa Lila every night. And I think you all have heard the story that one day he found a golden, what's called? The anklet. It's called anklet? I'm asking the ladies because they know, but an anklet, a golden anklet. But it was special gold because it's not just gold, which was already extraordinary, but gold was like radiating this light. The whole kunja was like luminous. So he understood this must be Srimati Radharani's. There's no other explanation. So then there is the whole esoteric explanation. I don't have time to give you all the details because I have 4 minutes. 4 minutes, and he says, please finish the Srimad Bhagavatam class with question and answer by 8:45. What? It's not? I should not follow. What? 9 a.m. It's changed. So what time I should stop? You tell me. 9 a.m.? So, huh? Very liberal. Anyway, he went. Then one day, Srimati Radharani found that she missed her anklet, and then Lalita Devi went to look for the anklet, and she went in a form of a old lady. And she met Shyamananda, who was sweeping the kunja. So, did you find anything? And there was the whole like testing. He was asking, who are you? Which village are you from? And finally, he kind of forced her to say, yeah, I'm Lalita Devi. And then he asked, please show me your form, your original form. You're coming as an old lady. Can you show me your real original form? And then Lalita Devi said, well, I don't think you can bear it. I don't think you can just bear it, the darshan of my form. And then Shyamananda, at that time still, Dukhi Krishna Das, said, if you give me the power, I will hold. If you empower me to have your darshan. Said, okay. So then she gave the darshan, and he was, wow. And he went into ecstasies and all this. And by the way, all these details you can get in this book by Satyaraj Prabhu. What is the book? Vaishnava Saints by Satyaraj Das. Vaishnava Saints. It's also in the folio. If you have folio, Bhaktivedanta Veda base is there. Anyway, there is a long description of different ecstasy, fainting, crying, a lot of pages on that. And I don't remember exactly which one comes first, if the crying or the... I don't remember exactly, but you get the idea. Very intense. Then finally, he gave the anklet. And in fact, he had hidden the anklet in the ground, because somebody may steal. He goes there with an iron spade, and when he touches the ground, even the iron spade becomes gold. Then he gives the anklet to Lalita Devi, and then he goes to, and then Lalita Devi takes this anklet and he puts it on the forehead. It's like that, does some, I don't know exactly, but he puts it on the forehead, like pressurized, and he gives a new tilak, the Shamanandi tilak, still used today. The one like this with the dot in the middle, that's a Shamanandi tilak. And then he gives the name, because you gave pleasure to Shama, Shrimati Radharani, by finding his anklet, her anklet, your name will be Shamananda. But don't tell anybody what happened. You can tell Jiva Goswami, but don't tell anybody else. So then he went back to the ashram. He's now, he's a student there, with a new tilak and a new name. And he cannot tell anybody what happened. So he tells Jiva Goswami what happened. He didn't say okay, he said very nice, great, great, of course. You got darshan of Lalita Devi, you got her mercy, it's great. But then somebody, in Vrindavan, people start talking, what is this new tilak, what is this, Yamana, what? It was not Duki Krishna Das, what happened? So a couple of sannyasi were traveling and went back to Ambika Kalna and told the Ridoy Chaitanya, but your disciple? Aduki Krishna Das, now his name is Shamananda, and he has a new tilak. I don't know, maybe Jiva Goswami reinitiated him. Ridoy Chaitanya became furious. What? I sent my disciple to Jiva Goswami to teach him the Shastras, and he reinitiates my disciple? This is intolerable. This is completely off. So then he writes a very kind of heavy letter, and he sends 5 disciples to Vrindavan to find out. So then these 5 disciples go to Vrindavan, they go to Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami very humble and like that. But even Jiva Goswami was bound by the secrecy, he could not say the whole story. So he gave, without telling any untruth, he gave a whole explanation, saying, look, actually there was a dream, and Duki Krishna Das Guru, Ridoy Chaitanya, gave him this name and gave him this tilak. So it's all the mercy of the Guru. I have nothing to do with it. And then these 5 disciples were convinced, because, they got to know Jiva Goswami personally, a person of such integrity, sanctity, is not going to do this thing. Jiva Goswami said, look, I never even imagined doing something like that. Because giving reinitiation to somebody who has a guru in good standing is a major sin, it's a major thing. Now, in the recent history, we have seen some people doing it, but it's a no-no in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So these 5 disciples went back to Ambika Kalna. We are talking, 1500 kilometers. So went back to Ambika Kalna and told Ridoy Chaitanya, no, it's like, it was just a dream, and actually it's all your mercy. And Ridoy Chaitanya became even more furious. He said, what dream and dream? Dream are not real, and plus how can I give a new name without even knowing myself? So this is all bogus. And he became so upset. He said, look, we have to all go to Vrindavan. So he brought a lot of gurus. He brought 64 Mahants. Mahants are like major gurus and a lot of people. So this whole huge party left Bengal, went to Vrindavan, went there and challenged Jiva Goswami. What is this dream and dream is not true? This is all bogus. What are you talking about? And Jiva Goswami was very, very humble. Still, he maintained the confidentiality, which is another important point, maintaining confidentiality at all costs. He was getting blamed. He was getting defamed, but he did not break his vow of confidentiality. So finally, all these months came, like, imagine like almost like court martial. like almost like a trial. All these big, big, big Vaishnavas, somewhere associates of Lord Chaitanya sitting there, Shyamananda sitting there, all interrogating him. So what's going on here? You tell us, who gave you this tilak? Who gave you this name? And he said, look, it's all the mercy of my guru, Hridaya Chaitanya. What guru, guru, I didn't give you anything. So then the Bhant said, look, this is the last chance. You tell us the truth. And then Shyamananda, he said, okay, let me collect myself. Then he went to the meditation. He went into his Siddha Swarupa. So he went in a different dimension, the transcendental dimension, as Kanaka Manjari, who is an assistant of Srila Rupa Manjari, who is an assistant to Lalita Devi, who is an assistant to Srimati Radharani. So he started in that dimension. He went to Srimati Radharani's house and he started crying outside, crying. Then some Manjaris came out and said, what's going on? He said, look, I have a very big problem. My guru is very angry with me. Please help me. So they brought her in front of Srimati Radharani and they told her. And Srimati Radharani said, call Subal Sakar. Say, look, Subal, you are Goridas Pandit. So you are his guru's guru. So your disciple, Hridaya Chaitanya, is very angry to your grand disciple. So do something about this. You have to solve this problem. So Subal told Shyamananda, who is in the female form, Kanaka Manjari, said, don't worry. You go back to external consciousness and say, look, I tell you, all of you, this tilak and this name is transcendental. I'll put this tilak, I'll put the name, and you can wash it with as much soap, as much water you want, but it won't go away. You tell them like this, and think of me. When you tell them like this, you think of me, Subal, and don't worry about that. And then Srimati Radharani told him also, don't worry, Shyamananda, you're very dear to me. Go back to Orissa at one point and spread the Krishna consciousness with Rasika Murari all over Orissa. And Shyamananda did not know who is this Rasika Murari because he did not know anything about Rasika Murari. Anyway, to make a long story a little shorter, he came back to external consciousness and he told everybody, look, you try to wipe this tilak, it won't go away. So actually they tried. Hridaya Chaitanya tried. Hridaya Chaitanya was really intense. I mean, these are great devotees. Don't think materially. He said, look, if this tilak goes away, I kill myself. Because it will be such a shame to have you as a disciple, I'll kill myself. But if it doesn't go, okay. Then they start washing. And then he was thinking, Subal. And then the tilak did not go. The tilak stayed. And the name, he wrote the name on the chest, Shyamananda, also stayed. So everybody was flabbergasted. Wow, so this is a miracle. It must be right. So everybody accepted and everybody was happy. Then Jiva Goswami served a huge feast and everybody was happy. So okay, so Hridaya Chaitanya was kind of pacified. And then they went for parikrama, because main thing was to solve this thing. But then they went to see all Vrindavan, Vraj, Radha Kunda, Shyama Kunda. At one point, they were talking, disciple and guru, and Shyamananda revealed he was in Madhurya Ras, while Hridaya Chaitanya was in Shakya Ras. And Hridaya Chaitanya became extremely angry again. Extremely angry. Say, look, you're my disciple. How can you be in Madhurya Rasa and be Shakya Rasa? You betrayed me. This is nonsense. And then Shyamananda said, no, but look, everything ultimately is to serve Srimati Radharani. He said, what? And then he took a branch of a tree, a stick, and started beating him physically. What do you tell me? You traitor, you betrayed me. I'm going to reject you as a disciple. We are in Shakya Ras, you are in Madhurya Ras. What are you doing? And then he started beating him. Then he was really furious with his disciple. And then finally he told, look, let me sleep on it, but tomorrow morning I'll reject you as my disciple. But let me sleep on it. Okay. So then he goes to sleep, and in a dream, Lord Chaitanya appears to him. He was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. This is after Lord Chaitanya left. So he appeared in the dream, and Lord Chaitanya had his chadar soaking with blood. His dhoti soaking with blood. And Hridaya Chaitanya said, what happened? Lord Chaitanya said, look, you are beating Shyamananda, but Shyamananda is like myself. I love him so much. I consider him myself. So I took whatever beating you gave, I took myself. And then Hridaya Chaitanya woke up and said, wow, I can't do that. Then they reconciled. Finally, this was the last clash between guru and disciple. Anyway, it's time. Now it's time to finish. But basically, after this, just to conclude, he was sent to the Western India again. Srinivas Acharya went to Vishnupur, Narottam Das Thakur went to Keturigram, and then he went to Orissa. And Orissa was in a very bad state because the Pathans, the Afghans, the Muslims had conquered the Puri temple. The Jagannath temple was in the hands of the Muslims in Puri. And the Vaishnavas were kind of ridiculed. There were a lot, but they were very ridiculed and were made to suffer. So Shyamananda started preaching, and he was so powerful. There are many stories, but there's no time now. He made a lot of devotees, kings, brahmanas, even Muslim zamindar, and even Muslim warriors, things like that. So he started spreading Krishna consciousness. At one point, Hridaya Chaitanya came. He was so happy to see the movement. Especially his main disciples were Rasika Nanda Deva, also very famous. We mentioned that was the Rasika Murari. We kept preaching after Shyamananda Pandit and Damodar. So at one point, after Hridaya Chaitanya left his world, Shyamananda Prabhu felt very, very bad. And when Damodar, his other disciple, left his world, he felt very bad. He kind of felt sick. And then at one point, Shyamananda Prabhu left this world. We don't talk so much generally about Shyamananda Pandit because it's mostly like a tradition of the Oriya Vaishnavas. It's because it's all, what he did was in Orissa. So we don't talk, but he was a huge personality. He was a huge self-realized soul. So, Shyamananda Pandit Prabhu ki. Disappearance of Shyamananda Pandit ki. Shyamananda Prabhu Tirobhav Titi Mahamahotsav ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Grantara Shrimabhadvan ki. Shirbhavad ki. So I guess we stop here. Huh? Thank you. Hare Krishna.